Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU.
This week, the call for a UK ticket touting ban. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook.
Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
As ever, we're going to take a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when the UK's Music Managers Forum published a Music Managers Interim Guide to AI, which was produced by those guys at CMU.
Yeah, those guys again.
They get about, don't they?
They do get about. So yes, this was the latest guide as part of the Dissecting the Digital Dollar series. So regular listeners of Setlist, you know what that is all about. And this particular guide is looking at all things AI, both how artists and managers and other business partners in the music industry are using AI as part of the music making process and as part of the music marketing process and other ways as well. But then also running through some of the copyright and licensing questions that AI raises, particularly from an artist and management point of view, offering a load of advice on what managers should be thinking about and the questions they should be asking of the record labels and music distributors and music publishers that they work with. It was launched as part of MMF's Manager Summit, where the whole focus for the day was on AI. Although I say that because I've been told that is what happened. Unfortunately, even though we were launching the new Digital Dollar Guide on AI, I was unable to be there myself. I was on a plane between Poland and Croatia. And the reason I'm mentioning that isn't to brag that I've been traveling across Europe this week. It's not even to explain why I wasn't at the Manager Summit, because I'm assuming that most of you listening to Setlist didn't know I wasn't at the Manager Summit and didn't care. But I'm telling you because I'm in a hotel room in Croatia, so it may be echoey, it may be a bit weird. It's also very hot here, and I've had to turn the air conditioning off. So there's a chance that halfway through our discussion on all the criticism of the Deezer artist-centric model, I might pass out. And don't think that I'm passing out in surprise or anger. It has no editorial significance. It is quite warm here in Croatia, and I had to turn my aircon off in order to record this podcast.
Okay, so by what you said there, you think you're going to make it all the way through the first story?
I'm pretty confident that when it comes to discussing ticket touting, I can deal with the heat.
All right, we'll see.
It is discussing Deezer's artist-centric model that might get the temperature up to a point where I pass out. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, yes, I should say, before discussing the heat in the room where I'm currently sitting, what's more important is this new AI guide is available. It's free. So obviously, if you're a member of the MMF, then you already know about it. But it is actually accessible from the MMF website. We also posted a way to download it in our report on it on the CMU website. I'm sure that Andy Malt will put a link in the show notes so you can go and download a copy for yourself. If you are working for an independent record company that is a member of Impala, so generally that means you're a member of an organization like AIM in the UK or Runda, where I currently am, are in the Balkan region of Europe. If you're a member of an Impala allied organization, we also, as CMU, published a report earlier in the year about AI as part of the One Step Ahead project. So if you are in the label world, you should go and download that one as well. But that is enough plugging, I think. I don't think there's anything else that we need to plug. If you're going to Reeperbahn, which is this week as this podcast goes out, I'm moderating a panel there on Friday. See you there. That is all the plugging that we're going to do here today. But what are we here to talk about? It's not plugging stuff.
No, later on we'll be discussing criticism of Deezer's new plan for artist-centric royalty payments. But first, the Fanfare Alliance campaign group against ticket touting last week set out a new agenda for the first time, calling for the introduction of legislation to ban the for-profit resale of tickets in the UK. At a meeting of the all-party parliamentary group on ticket abuse, Fanfare set out a three-point plan that seeks to tackle the ongoing issues faced by artists, promoters and fans as a result of industrial-level ticket touting on platforms like Viagogo and StubHub. And as well as new laws, Fanfare also wants platforms like Google to stop touts buying their way to the top of search lists and is calling on the live music industry to give more visibility to price-capped ticket resale initiatives to support their overall viability.
So yes, we are back to discussing secondary ticketing, ticket touting for our American listeners, ticket scalping here on the podcast, something we've discussed a lot over the years, an issue, a debate, a controversy that obviously went a little bit less high profile during the pandemic when there were no tickets to tout. But as the live sector has got back to normal, concerns about, as you say, industrial level ticket touting have returned. The Fanfare Alliance was set up a few years ago in the UK by the aforementioned MMF and a number of management companies and some booking agents and some people in the live space who felt that ticket touting in the UK had got out of control. On the back of campaigning by the Fanfare Alliance and also within Parliament, there is this APPG for ticket abuse, and one MP in particular, Sharon Hodgson MP, has been doing lots of campaigning within the political environment here in the UK. And on the back of all of that, ticket resale, secondary ticketing, is now regulated to an extent here in the UK. So we've had some changes to the law over the years, and indeed some existing laws that in the past were not very well enforced have become better enforced. And as a result, companies like Viagogo and StubHub and the ticket touts that use those platforms do now have to adhere to some extra rules, in particular being more transparent about the fact that they are not an official seller of tickets, that they are a tout, both on the platforms and also in the promotion of the platforms, for example, on search engines. And there has to be a little bit more transparency about who is selling a ticket, about any terms and conditions on the ticket that is being resold that could result in the touted ticket being cancelled. So there are a bunch of rules which are now better enforced here in the UK. And as a result, we have seen Viagogo, StubHub, and the people that use them have to change the ways in which they operate. And in addition to all of that, we have seen an organization called National Trading Standards going after some of the dodgier touts who were breaking some of the laws in the way that they were gathering and promoting and selling tickets on these platforms. So we have seen a bunch of improvements over the years that means that ticket resale here in the UK is more regulated than in some other countries, I guess in particular the US, where although there is now some talk of regulating ticket touting and secondary ticketing, in the main, the resale of tickets in the US is much more of a free-for-all.
However, Fanfare says that more still needs to be done. And at last week's meeting, it highlighted an ITV news report from last year, which said that the vast majority of UK festival tickets listed on Viagogo were fraudulently advertised by just three people. And Fanfare said these three sellers are, we believe, still actively trading on the website. Then in March this year, reporters for BBC Radio 4's You and Yours programme highlighted that a new generation of touts are exploiting ticketing systems with increasingly sophisticated software. In addition to that, in 2021, the Competition and Markets Authority, which has taken responsibility for monitoring and regulating the resale platforms, made a series of recommendations that aimed to strengthen existing laws around ticket resale. But earlier this year, the UK government declined to implement those recommendations.
Yes, because although I said that the regulation of secondary ticketing here in the UK is now more rigorous than in some other countries, for example, the US, it is also true that some countries have gone further in the regulation of ticket resale. And the big bold statement that the Fanfare Alliance made last week that we alluded to at the start of this section is it said that it believes it is now imperative for the UK to adopt legislation similar to countries including Ireland, France and Australia that outlaws the resale of tickets for profit while ensuring customers who can no longer attend an event are being provided with viable services to resell their tickets at the price they paid for them or less. So this is a big development because, as we said, the Fanfare campaign has been running for many years now. It has called for a number of new rules or for the better enforcement of existing rules. And as a result, we've had more regulation. But this is the first time that the UK campaign around touting is actually calling for the for-profit resale of tickets to basically be banned. So if you buy a ticket for a show and you can no longer attend, you could resell that ticket, but only at the face value of the ticket using one of the platforms that is set up for that kind of resale. But you would not be able to buy up tickets for shows with no intention of going to see the show and then selling them usually at a markup on a platform like Viagogo or StubHub. And in its statement calling for this change to UK law, as I say, it noted that these rules already exist in Australia and in France. Actually, France was the first to do this. Ireland, it happened more recently, and Fanfare noted that since the rule came in force in Ireland, stopping for-profit resale, that was introduced in 2021. Dublin shows for artists like Taylor Swift, Coldplay, and Arctic Monkeys seem to have been delisted on websites like Viagogo and StubHub. So it seems that the ban in Ireland is working.
So as we mentioned, the call for a ban on for-profit touting is part of a three-point plan. It is, in fact, point one. Point two calls for tech action, stating that platforms like Google and YouTube must stop promoting touts and help direct consumers towards legitimate sources of tickets. And point three calls for industry action, stating that across the board, the live music business needs to make capped consumer-friendly ticket resale visible and viable. All 3 points are backed by a whole load of booking agents, artist managers, tour promoters, and music industry organizations. Such a long list of supporters, in fact, that this episode would be far, far too long if we stopped to read them all out. So we now just wait to see how government, Google, and the industry at large respond. And finally, on this edition of Setlist, there has been criticism of Deezer's plan to switch to a new system for paying out royalties, mainly from the independent music sector. The indies do actually welcome some of the changes Deezer is proposing to the way it allocates revenues to individual tracks each month, but they have concerns about one change in particular.
Yeah, so there are several elements to Deezer's proposed new way for allocating its revenues to tracks, a new approach that has been developed in partnership with Universal Music, and which both companies insist on calling an artist-centric model. Now, we talked through all the various different changes on last week's set list, so there's no need to go through all the different elements of this again. If you didn't listen last week, go back and listen. But today, let's focus on the one change that is causing the controversy. That is the plan to provide what Deezer is calling a double boost to, and I quote, professional artists, which is a change that basically means that a play of a track from a professional artist will count twice when it comes to revenue allocation. To qualify as a professional artist, a music maker needs to get at least 1,000 streams from at least 500 unique users each month. Artists who fall below that threshold, some of them hobbyist musicians, but some of them probably self-releasing artists who will just happen to be at a very early stage in their career, they will get a lower average per stream payout under this new system.
In a new interview with Billboard last week, Deezer boss Geronimo Folguera insisted that the threshold for being classified as a professional artist has been picked so that most independent and niche artists will already be above it, and DIY artists trying to launch a career in music will quickly cross it. If an artist doesn't get to 1,000 streams and 500 listeners a month, they cannot make a living through streaming, regardless of what the payout model is, he said. So you're not actually technically a professional, and any up-and-coming artist that is rising up gets to those levels pretty quickly. Although that does seem to disregard the fact that many professional artists do not make their living only from streaming. And furthermore, this part of the plan means that the artist-centric model will split the artist community in two, treating one group more favourably to the detriment of the other.
Yeah. And basically, the hobbyist musicians who, okay, are not trying to make a living off their music will be penalised for the benefit of, okay, the mid-tier artists and the independent artists, but also the superstar artists at the top who clearly don't need the money. So, as we said, this change, this particular part of the artist-centric model, is proving to be a little bit controversial. In a statement last week, digital distributor and artist services company Believe, which works with lots of independent labels and independent artists, took aim at this particular proposal. It said, as a company working with artists and labels at all levels, Believe considers that all artists shall be compensated equally by streaming services regardless of their stage of development. We strongly oppose an unfair reverse Robin Hood system. That's a good way of referring to it, isn't it? We strongly oppose an unfair reverse Robin Hood system that is centered around taking compensation from rising artists to allocate it to top and established artists. Further, it is our belief, based on our data, that such a system would reduce diversity and discourage creativity.
Impala, the pan-European trade organization for the independent sector, has also expressed concerns. In a statement, it asks whether the proposal could lead to a possible two-tier approach impacting the work of independent labels who account for 80% of new releases, including artists patiently awaiting discovery, artists who deliberately cater to niche audiences, artists from smaller territories, and newcomers just embarking on their artistic journey, as well as label decisions on which services they choose to deal with.
One thing that Folguera doesn't discuss in his Billboard interview is which, if any, artists were consulted about this artist-centric model. We said this on last week's set list. The fact that neither Deezer nor Universal have been specifically listing the artists or the artist managers that they have consulted as part of the process of developing this new model generally suggests to us that they haven't consulted the artist community, which, if you're going to call it an artist-centric model, I don't think is a very good look. And it seems indie labels have not been consulted about this either. And on that point, Impala said that the Deezer proposal has been developed in a vacuum with the market leader instead of the wider sector. And not only is that not ideal, Impala also pointed out that unless other stakeholders agree, by which we mean all the other licensing entities on the recording side, so the other majors, the bigger indies, particularly the indies who license through Merlin, and then all of the independent distributors, companies like Believe, until those companies also endorse this new approach, Impala said it couldn't see how the new model could apply outside of the Universal Music repertoire. Executive Chair of Impala, Helen Smith, stated, "More debate is needed on this vital question, and we look forward to further discussions to clarify the specifics of the Deezer proposal and its potential impact on the music ecosystem before commenting further. In the meantime, it can only apply to Universal Music repertoire unless or until other licensors were to agree to the new system."
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because while Deezer has been pretty much presenting this as a fait accompli, the streaming service will need to get its other label and distribution partners to agree to the switch over to the new approach. In his Billboard interview, Folguera admitted that that needed to be done and said that that process was now underway.
Which is good news, I guess. Although I have to say, last week, towards the end of last week, in fact, I did see the CEO of a pretty significant DIY distributor posting onto his social media, basically saying, "Hey, Deezer, no one's contacted me. Maybe you want to get in touch," which possibly suggests there is still quite a lot more work to be done by Deezer on this. Folguera did admit that they might initially have to operate the new system and the old system concurrently, bearing in mind that the plan is to put this live in France, its biggest market, as soon as next month. Now, it is true that SoundCloud actually operates two different systems side by side. You may remember that SoundCloud introduced the so-called user-centric approach to processing royalties, but only for some repertoire. So SoundCloud at the moment has to basically split the royalty pool into two at the start of every month, and then half of it goes out in the system that is used by Spotify and Apple and Amazon and everybody else, and the other half is distributed on the user-centric system. So it may be that Deezer basically has to do the same thing, that it splits the money into two, and then those companies that have signed up to the new approach will get their money distributed one way, and the others will get it distributed the old way. Although you have to think that the DIY distributors will probably never sign up to this. So I don't quite know how that is going to work. I guess we will see in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, and back here in the UK, the CEO of the Association of Independent Music, Silvio Montello, who actually discussed Universal's calls for an artist-centric model on an edition of Setlist earlier this year, has echoed Impala's concerns. She said, AIM welcomes efforts to review the current streaming economics model, but whilst there are many positives to take away, including Deezer's continued intention to combat streaming fraud, boosting royalties for artists who can meet certain consumption thresholds could encourage a two-tier system that would disadvantage those navigating the first steps of their careers or working within emerging genres. Considering these proposals were agreed without industry consultation, more collaboration and transparency around modelling is needed to ensure they work for rights holders operating at all levels of the business.
So we shall see how this develops. It wouldn't actually surprise me if we don't see Deezer implementing some of its plan initially, because the other elements that we're not discussing this week, but we discussed on last week's set list, I think in the main are probably going to be supported by most of the artist and label community. So the other parts of the plan, probably they could get people to sign up to quite quickly. So maybe particularly to get the distributors across the line, they'll have to say, okay, what if everybody signs up immediately to the less controversial elements of what we have planned? And then we'll discuss the professional artist, non-professional artist distinction and try and hammer that out on a slightly slower timeline. Or will they say, we've got the biggest music rights company in the world on board, we're just going to railroad the rest of you into doing this? But, I mean, that's not a very good look for Deezer, who has been trying to present themselves as being the artist champion here, of reforming the model in a way that is good for as many artists as possible. And to be fair, Deezer was a supporter of user-centric before pretty much everybody else, and user-centric has generally been quite popular in the artist and management community. And I think everybody agrees the model needs to be reformed, so I think most people are happy that Deezer is taking the lead on this. But to push everybody into this professional artist, non-professional artist thing, if actually a lot of artists and indies are not up for it, that would not be a good look. So this story could develop in the weeks ahead. It will be interesting to follow.
But that's all we've got time for on this edition of Setlist. If you want to read more about anything we've discussed this week, go to the show notes, which you'll find in your podcast player right now. There's links you can click in there for more. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you've not done that already. Rate and review the show as well. And if you've got anything you need to tell us very, very urgently, you can email us setlist@unlimitedmedia.co.uk. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Malt and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, go to completemusicupdate.com.